Turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, the 25th chapter. Matthew 25, verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened to 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps, and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in the vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch ye therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh." Let us pray. We thank thee, our Heavenly Father, for the promise of our Redeemer's return, the blessed hope. We thank thee for the promise of eternal life. We thank thee that you hear prayer, and we thank thee for thy mercy and long suffering. We plead thy mercy and thy long suffering. Guide us as a church in the way of truth, and help us to understand the truths of thy word. Help us to live in accordance to thy word, that others may see Christ in us. Forgive us of our sins and inequities, we pray. Guide us in our daily lives. Keep us mindful of the Lord's return. Help us to be more like our Master. Forgive us where we fail thee. We pray for our pastor and his family also. Keep your protective hands upon them. Grant them travel mercies. Have mercy upon our country. Pray these things be according to thy will now. Grant us the seeing eye and the hearing ear, the heart to perceive. Grant me the words to speak and the ability to speak. Pray these things be done for thine honor and thy glory. For it's in Christ's name, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we ask, and amen. There's many different views concerning the 10 virgins. The title of this lesson is "Not So." When the wise were asked, "Give us oil." "Not so. We brought our oil, we brought our lamps." As to the what made the 5 wise and what made the other 5 foolish, well, for one, the wise carried oil, typical of the Holy Spirit. The foolish neglected to bring oil. Maybe they were putting on a show. A lot of things you could say. It's common among commentators, pointing to the need for a personal experience with a personal Savior. And that's what's neglected here by the word "foolish" here, translated to "godless." In our day, compassion is one word you could use for it. Most people think that many people think that the government owes them a living, as we call it, in joking form. Give us. Not so, go work for it. We've heard of the participation trophy. Well, when most of us were young, you earned what you got. We've been studying at end times. We looked last Lord's Day that the bride of Christ hath made herself ready. She got what she earned. As we pointed out, that there's no mercy in the book of Revelation. Unto her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for fine linen is the righteousness, righteous acts and deeds of the saints. Once again, that's lacking among the foolish here. Give us your oil. There were five wise, five foolish. Five had what they needed, but none to give away. This morning in the devotional there in 2 Corinthians, those that gathered over had none extra, and those that gathered little had no lack. It's pointing to the time when God sent manna in the Exodus. Those that got a whole bunch didn't have any to give away. Those that got little had all they needed. God provides our needs. One may work hard in a garden and have a good harvest, but have barely enough to get through. Well, that's God providing our needs. One may seem like they don't have enough. God once again provides our needs. There are what's called professors, and there's what's called possessors. Some just mildly say that they're the Lord's sheep, except when they're around the devil's gang, then you know them by the fruits. Christ said, "Give not that which is holy to the dogs, neither cast your pearls before the swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you." You have what you need. Take care of it, I guess is one way to put it. What is the best that we have? To whom do we give it? What do we use it for? We're all stewards with what God has given us in this life. Our bodies, our talents, our time, it's to be used for the Lord's glory. We don't have an abundance to give away. The scenario here depicts five foolish as demanding from the wise, as it seems, "Give us this." And like I said, we live in a day and age where people think the world owes it to them, but in the realm of God, with the exception of grace, none are worthy of it. As far as reward goes, we get what we earn. What they're doing by saying "give us," they're putting the burden upon the just, paying for student loans. Think about that. It's the same attitude. Changing the subject a little bit, you are what you are in an emergency. Preparation for such things takes planning, just like the wise planned with taking oil along. You figure if you took a lamp, you might need some oil for it. An EMT or a doctor trained for medical emergencies, you wouldn't want one that wasn't trained, would you? That's common sense. I've never fixed a broken leg before. Well, you don't need to be out there. What about firefighters? You'd want one that was trained, that's for sure. Going to a barber shop and to ask just anybody to cut your hair? No, most people want specific people cutting their hair. Philippians chapter 2. Verse the Christian life takes thought and preparation. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Not work for, work out. Try it. Do we find ourselves studying God's word when faced with a situation, keeping godly principles in mind? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. If he's not working in you, you're not one of his. Or we're running from him in rebellion. There's an intensity seen here, as there was with the foolish maidens. They had not put their priorities in order. They had not taken care of business preparation. Perhaps they was impressed with what they looked like or self, looked to others careless, whatever, I can't say. As we know, the great evil of bad decisional regeneration is a person makes a decision, they can change that decision. But if Christ begins a good work in us, he will complete it. Some think that all you got to do is make that decision. That's not the way it works. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. If he began a good work in you, he will complete it. That's simple. It would be the same as buying a nice new vehicle and not putting any fuel in it. The wise offered the only advice they could give. Perhaps too late. Go ye rather to them that sell. Not just anybody, but to them that sell. We're told in the book of Proverbs, the 23rd chapter, the 23rd verse, buy the truth and sell it not. I guess you might say, in the final analysis, the truth really didn't mean that much to them. Christ taught the truth shall set you free. In Isaiah chapter 55, verse 1, Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye buy. Eat, come ye buy wine and milk without money and without price. You're talking about something here, salvation, that there's no price, nothing could buy it. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. But this implies action. Some people are too lazy to work, can't say. Brother Eddie was saying a lot of people perhaps will go to hell because they're too lazy to read a Bible. Makes sense. Verse that same chapter. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord. This is repentance. And he will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. That's wisdom. If you heed it. If we heed it. It applies to all. spiritual matters of great worth. Incline your ear and come unto me here, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. It's a blessed truth. Back to the 10 virgins. All were invited. Is a legitimate offer. John's Gospel, the 3rd chapter, the 16th verse, is a legitimate offer, and it has to be. Yes, man has to repent, but whosoever will, it's a legitimate offer. It cannot be denied. I mean, we preach and teach the doctrines of grace, but God's word is plain. Whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And in the 6th chapter of the Gospel of John, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. He commands that to all. He is commanded in Acts 17:28-31. God hath commanded all men everywhere to repent. Does he expect man to? The call is made. All men are commanded to repent. It's that simple. Commandeth all men everywhere to repent. The problem is, it's too pricey for the sinner. He waits for the midnight call, and that's when he plans on acting. Companies in America shut their doors as a result of finances and move off to other cities, other places, rather than do what it takes to keep a business there. Unions go on strike rather than accept an agreement with their companies. Thus, they're losing more money during the strike than they would make if they had been given the choice to go ahead and work without making a new agreement. They're going to strike for 2 months and lose all the money. Bad business. The foolish did not do what God's word requires, submit and obey. Like the church at Laodicea, they lacked what was necessary, gold tried in the fire. They lacked what was necessary for the master to approve of them. They had gold, but it's untried. Now, there's other ways of looking at this. A simple phrase, not so. In Genesis chapter 19, in the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, several places in the wrong chapter. When the men of the city came to abuse the two angelic beings, Lot took him into his house and went out to the door and told his, he called them, brethren, do not so wickedly. We live in a day and age where wickedness is bragged upon. I mean, we see the society becoming more and more like it was then. And they're proud of it. Mighty to sin. Sin, back in the day, was a shameful thing, regardless of what kind it was. And then when Lot was told to escape for his life, over in verse 16, while he lingered, the men, the two angelic beings, laid hold on his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. He was going to stay there. And it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad, he said, escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in the plain, escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, oh, not so, my Lord. And what did he end up with? Went to Zoar, ended up in a cave. Would have been a lot better off. What God plans for us, we need to take his word for it. Oftentimes, I'll have my things my way and end up in worse shape. We have the not so of disobedience there. We have the not so of Jewish pride in Acts chapter 10. Acts 10, the scenario is Peter was up on the rooftop in a vision, seen a bunch of creeping things, told rise and eat. Verse 9 of Acts chapter 10, on the morrow as they went on their journey and drew nigh to the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour and became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending into him. And it had been as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, Peter, rise, kill, and eat. But Peter said, not so, my Lord, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. Now, first of all, this is disobedience. The Lord told him to rise and eat. Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, what God hath cleansed, call not thou uncommon. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. You can find, anytime we say not so, we need to be careful what we're saying. We need to be aware if we're being obedient or disobedient unto God's word. We're told in the book of Proverbs, the 29th chapter, where there is no vision, the people perish. Well, where there's no vision, once again, it's because people ain't reading Scripture. Same thing, disobedience. We need to always be aware of our actions. Are we obedient or disobedient? I mentioned this morning when the children of Israel were brought to the promised land. There it is, take it. No, we can't take it. Not so. What happened? Another thing that we can learn from or profit by on this, don't expect to gain heaven on another person's merits. They, the unwise, the foolish virgins, they thought that they was going to just simply get some oil because they were there. Don't expect such things. In the book of Ezekiel, the 14th chapter, we're told about the three most righteous men that ever lived, that ever walked across that land. Ezekiel 14 and 14. Ezekiel 14 and verse 14, though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God. If I cause a noisome beast to pass through the land and they spoil it, so that it be desolate, that no man may pass through because of the beast. Though these three men were in it as I live, saith the Lord God, they should deliver neither sons nor daughters. They only shall be delivered, but the land shall be desolate. Or if I bring a sword upon that land and say, sword, go through the land, so that I cut off man and beast from it. Though these three men were in it as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters, but they only shall be delivered themselves. Or if I send a pestilence into that land and pour out my fury upon it in blood to cut off from it man and beast, though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters. They shall but deliver their own souls by their righteousness. The Lord calls his sheep by name. He also gives us orders by name. Man is to repent and believe the gospel. Because that same Lord and Savior is going to be judge. Back to the 25th chapter of the book of Matthew. You can also see another standpoint in this. As Christ said in closing, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. We know he's returning. We should be living like we're expecting him any minute. Anything else is disobedience. Those in the text that were left behind, they were told, I know ye not. Sometime back, I made mention of a discussion I had with one I went to school with growing up. They asked, would Christ ever condemn anybody to death? What's the worst, condemning them to death or depart me that work iniquity? I know you not. That's the most severe committed death sentence one could imagine. Are we the wise? Or are we foolish? We learn from these things in Scripture. We should apply them to our lives and hearts and actions. Let us pray.